So as we approach the holidays, I'm wondering if you've thought of this. So I have a question for you to be asking yourselves today. Why do we have Christmas? Did you ever think about that? Why do we have Christmas? Now, I'm not talking about why do we have our traditions, like why do we have a tree and why do we exchange gifts, but why do we have Christmas at all? Two reasons I want us to focus on today. We have Christmas because we, that's mankind, made bad choices. And two, more importantly, we have Christmas because God still deeply loved us. We made bad choices, but God still deeply loved us. When Jesus came to earth, born as a baby, it wasn't just because God wanted to visit. Okay, do you understand that? God didn't just say, well, I think I'll come down and visit mankind. So I'm going to show up there as a baby and just say hello. There was a purpose, a divine plan. So today I want us to remind ourselves of the greatest love story. The greatest love story. Did you ever think of Christmas that way? The greatest love story. So before I start into this story, I want to say that I believe that everything recorded in the Old Testament actually happened. It's not a myth. It's not just a story. Jesus referred to things in the Old Testament. He talked about Noah and the flood and the ark. And he talked about it as if he believed it actually happened. In Romans and 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about Adam. And he explains that through Adam came death and through Jesus came life. So Paul believed that Adam and Eve actually happened. I believe that as well. So that's where we're going to start our story. It says that God created the sun and the moon. Then he started through the fish and the birds. Now, can you just picture some of the fish and some of the birds? The variety of animals that he created. So then he started through the other animals. So there were what? Elephants, giraffes, zebras, bears, cats and dogs. For all of our hunters, deer and elk and bear. Yay, right? So he created all the animals, all the living creatures. And he looked over all of that. And he says, that's good. But you notice he didn't say very good. He said, yeah, that's good. So then it's recorded for us that God said, let us make man in our image. What? What's with the us and the our? Well, if we wouldn't have the rest of the Bible, we'd sort of be left to figure that one out. But since we have the rest of the Bible, we know now that that meant that there's God the Father, there's God the Son, Jesus, and there's God the Holy Spirit. And so the three of them must have had a little conference and said, hey, why don't we create mankind? So it says he created them, man and woman. He created them. Now God looks down and he says, yeah, we have the fish and the birds and the elks and the deer and the zebras and all that. And he said, we have man and woman. And now he says, it's very good. Very good. So he comes down to Adam and Eve and he says, so now here you are in this garden. You can eat anything here in the garden. You can eat the apples and the oranges and the pears and the grapefruit and the strawberries and the blueberries and the carrots and the disgusting Brussels sprouts and the lettuce and the potatoes. And okay, you can eat all of that. That's all of yours to eat, except you see that tree over there with the red leaves and the purple fruit? Now, I'm making that part of it up because I want you to know that they understood what tree he was talking about. That one over there. Okay. That one you don't eat of. So, what happened? We know that Eve went over, and many people believe, theologians, that Adam was not that far behind, or at least he knew. Because after she ate, it doesn't say she took it back to their campsite or that she said, hey, Adam, come over here. It says she turned to her husband and said, here. So at some point, he was involved in this whole process. So we know Eve ate, whatever that was, and she said, hey, Adam, this is pretty good. And Adam goes, okay, and he takes a bite. So then, later in the day, it says God came down and walked among the garden. So now we get a little bit more of the picture of why God said, let us make man in our image. Because obviously this was something that was normal, that he came down and spent time with Adam and Eve on a daily basis. Hey, Adam, how'd you make out with the giraffes today? And Eve, how's your garden looking over there? And they had a daily, intimate relationship. That was God's plan all along. So now God shows up, and he's walking through the garden, and he says, you two didn't do that thing that I told you not to do, did you? Yeah, we did. So this is not the first time. This is not the last time. This was the first time that mankind is that. Oh, you know what? I bet you it's a stink bug. We have a couple of those flying around. I don't think it'll be a wasp this time of year. Right, Jackie? Yeah, Jackie had two wasps back in July. They liked her. So anyway, mankind, for the first time but not the last time, decided what I think will make me happy is different than what God thinks will make me happy. And so I'm going to choose my way. That's what they did. God said, you really don't want to do that, and there's reasons, and there's consequences. And they said, we think that we know better than you. So they did what they knew would displease God. They took their way over his way. And what happened? They now felt and experienced two things that God did not want them to experience. Shame and guilt. They had now displeased God, and because of whatever that fruit did, they now went, ew, we're naked. And so they covered themselves, and they hid from God. They felt shame and guilt. Neither of the things that God wanted them to ever experience. So there's a number of consequences to their actions, and there are books and books, and I've read some of them, written about those consequences. So obviously, I'm not going to discuss all of them today. I just want to mention two of them. One was that they now had to work hard to produce what they needed for life, when God's plan all along was that they lived in a place of abundance, having all their needs met. So you realize there in the garden, they had everything they needed. But after this, it said, now you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. The land didn't just multiply fruits and vegetables. They now had to work for what God wanted them to have in abundance. Second consequence, they were now separated from that close daily walk in the garden with God. Their relationship now was completely different. So as you know, they left the garden, and the garden was closed to them, and they now didn't have that daily walk with God. So throughout the Old Testament, it's recorded for us times when mankind went very, very far from God. It's recorded for us times that the nation of Israel drew as close to God as the old covenant would allow. We have Moses, whom God spoke to face to face. We have Samuel, who God called as a little child and spoke to. We have King Saul, who was disobedient. We have the shepherd boy David, who became king and taught Israel to worship. Then we have a whole line of kings. Good king, bad king. Bad king, good king. Good king, bad king. And they led the nation either further from God or closer. However, throughout this whole Old Testament, people were constantly reminded of their sin. Why do I know that? Because they constantly had to offer up sacrifices just so they could hope to have some kind of relationship with God. Do you realize that? It says that those sacrifices just covered their sin. It never forgave their sin. And they had such a list of things that they shouldn't do, and such a list of things that they should do, that they were constantly aware that they were messing up. They were constantly aware that, okay, for this I have to give a grain offering. For this I have to offer up a chicken. For this I have to bring a sheep. I mean, it was just constantly that they were reminded of their sin and their distance from God. But all through the Old Testament, there were promises that a day was coming. Something was going to change. God spoke through the prophets over and over again that the way they presently were separated from God was not the way it was going to end up. Isaiah was one of those prophets, and this is what he said: the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. They will be glad in thy presence. Why? For a child will be born. Really, it doesn't say a king will come and deliver us, but a child will be born. A son will be given. His name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or of his peace. So the nations waited and waited. through wars, through sorrows, through captivity and being taken to foreign lands, through empires. Remember all the empires that Daniel served with and served under, and ungodly rulers. Then we have the prophet Micah. He told of one coming out of Bethlehem. The kids learn about that this morning. The Old Testament prophets specifically describe many, many things that Jesus fulfilled. So Micah told of one coming out of Bethlehem whose ways are from eternity, who will arise as a shepherd in the strength of the Lord. And he declared, this one, this shepherd, will be our peace. When Micah recorded these words, this was his reply. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. He was going to watch expectantly and wait for this salvation that God was bringing. So the waiting continued. They waited for hope to come. They waited for peace to come. They waited for salvation to come. And most importantly, they waited for mankind to have the opportunity to have their relationship restored with God to the way it was intended to be from the beginning. So I want to say that one more time because I want us to all get that. They were waiting for the opportunity for mankind's relationship with God to be restored again to the way it was meant to be from the very beginning. The Old Testament then ends with Malachi, and this is what he says, speaking for the Lord. Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. Sound familiar? That's John the Baptist. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Suddenly? But the Lord suddenly sometimes is a long time. So then between the Old Testament and the New Testament, years, even centuries. There's hundreds of years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They waited, they watched, and their hope was almost gone. And then, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a feeding trough. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem. What had happened in Bethlehem? what had been prophesied the whole way through the Old Testament, what they had looked for and believed for, had occurred. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And when they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a feeding trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. This hope had come. This light had come. This peace, one bringing peace, had come. And the shepherds went straight to Bethlehem to see this thing that had happened, which the Lord had made known to them. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Mary treasured and pondered these things in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as it had been told them. He came, the Messiah, the Savior, the light of the world, the great shepherd, the Son of God, the one who was to bring peace. He's here. One of Jesus' followers explained it this way in John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world. Then why do we? But that the world should be saved through him. So what was the good news? The good news is now that relationship that was described in the garden, it can now be restored. It's no longer through the old covenant. We know that this baby grew. We know that Jesus laid down his life as the good shepherd for the sheep. He took upon himself the penalty, the curse, and the consequences of mankind's bad choice. That curse, that bad choice, was nailed to the cross with him. He was the living, holy, and complete sacrifice. The old covenant had now been fulfilled, and it was now done away with. The new covenant of grace, forgiveness by faith in Jesus, had begun. We were reconciled to God. We who have accepted Christ have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We've been saved, born again. We became followers of Jesus. We began a love relationship with our Heavenly Father as we realized his great love for us. We've been adopted into the family of God, sons and daughters of the one who walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. Sons and daughters of that one who walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. If there's a chance that you're here at this Christmas season and you didn't know that story before, and it now has caused in your heart the desire to have your relationship renewed with God? What better time to do that than during this season when we celebrate His great love for us and that hope has come? Hope has come. So let's stand. Wasn't a long or complicated message today, but it was the Christmas message, the greatest love story told. So what I want us to do is just take a minute and close our eyes. And I want us to reflect on all that God accomplished by sending His Son Jesus to come as this babe, to come as the great shepherd, to come to bring light to darkness, come to bring peace where there was no peace on earth, to come to bring hope, to come to bring restoration of relationship. So let's just bow our heads.